Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Number 10, huh? That was the language of Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Saraswata. O most worshipful of all, you are the best of all benefactors, and your appearance at saintly King Nabi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction. Report. Nija Purusha Ikshana Vishaya. In Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Krishna says, Samaham Sarvabhutesu. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion as a friend is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of God is equal to everyone. In that sense, he has no enemies and no friends. Everyone is enjoying the fruitful result of his own work, and the Lord, within everyone's heart, is observing and giving everyone the desired result. However, just as the devotees are always anxious to see the Supreme Lord satisfied in every way, similarly, the Supreme Lord is very anxious to present himself before his devotees. Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya sarunam dinasaya chaduskritam dana samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I event myself millennium after millennium. Thus, Krishna's appearance is for the deliverance and satisfaction of his devotees. Actually, he does not event himself simply to cure the demons, for that can be done by his agents. Lord Vishnu's appearance at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabi was just to please the king and his assistants. Otherwise, there was no reason for his being present there. Amajanatimidam dasya janaganasamakayam chakshusmiritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manabhisham kapitam jena bhutale swayam upakaramaya dadati svaparatikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri adaita gadadha shri vasudeva gaura bhaktavindam hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. So this is an important verse Prabhupada is quoting from Bhagavad Gita about how Krishna is equal to everyone, samasarvesa bhutesu, but still, he's inclined to his devotees. Well, there's no contradiction there. The sun is equal to everyone, and in all directions is shining as light. But those who take advantage of it, they get the benefit. So Krishna is equal to everyone, yayatamapaparyante, but as you approach it, then he reciprocates. That's just common sense. Krishna can't be criticized because he's annihilating the demons and protecting the devotees. Although he's quoting this verse. Prit ranaya sarunam. Prit ranaya. Vinishaya cha duskitam. So the duskitams, or the mischievous miscreants, they get annihilated by the Lord, like Rani Kashyapu. So that is done perfectly. There's no fault on the side of the Lord. The Mayavadis, they may think like that. Like I remember I was speaking to one Mayavadi and he was saying, so I was talking to him about the Balapur Kshetra and how, because they were non-violent, they were Jains. Sometimes you meet these Jains in India. They keep a mask on their face. Whenever they walk, they carry a broom to sweep them. Or any insect will step on it. So, I was arguing with such a person and saying that about Krishna in the battlefield, the Kurukshetra and so on. And he said, he didn't approve of Krishna's work there. He said, I could have done it better. Why do you have to kill so many people like that? That was his mood. So, they all criticized Krishna because he's annihilating the miscreants, but actually, this is rightly done. It's for the miscreants' benefit also. Like just the example is Jaya and Vijaya. So they wanted to come back to the spiritual world quickly. So the quicker they were killed, three times, they had to have three births, then the quicker they could go back. So the Lord's killing them was actually benefiting them. Well, in the same way, if the king kills the murderer, then that murder is also baneful. And this philosophy, well, is not very popular in some sense, because the problem is that there's no representative of Krishna, no proper representative of Krishna for Krishna's devotee. And therefore, people will see there's some fault in the government, and they'll agitate, oh, there should be no capital punishment, like in this country. In most countries, in all of Europe. You with me? And like in all of Europe, the capital punishment is outlawed. Because, although the principle is proper, but because there's nobody who can execute the principle properly, so they just think they're better to do away with the principle. The principle is, if you kill a murderer, he's benefited. But they're afraid, well, who knows if he's really a murderer, and who knows, and so they just wash their hands of the whole thing. They don't want to get involved. Because they're not able to, you can say, represent Krishna, really. Krishna's ready to kill. There's so many examples of that Krishna's killing. So we can also kill without any sin. But we have to know what is the actual fact. If we kill an innocent person, of course, then there's a great reaction. So that requires some knowledge and intuition. We have to be in touch with the Lord in our own heart. If we have any envy against the person, if we're not malicious against them, then of course, if there's a revenge or like a grudge or something just to retaliate, then we may lose the actual justice. Just like in the government, because the government representatives are not good. So they torture people. Well, may not. They're acting at their own frustration. They have their own problems. And so the justice becomes disturbed. And so people say, well, there's no real justice, so better not to kill anybody. No capital punishment. But the same way with guru, like the Rikthiks. They're saying, well, no one can become guru. Really. Prabhupada was guru, we all accept that. But no one can properly represent him. And so better that we don't have any gurus. That's the philosophy. Better that Prabhupada is the guru. Oh, well, that's not the philosophy, that's not the principle. The principle is Evam Parampara. That's the principle that Krishna established, the principle that Krishna came back to the material world just to establish this principle of Parampara, which appears to be lost. But because people are seeing that many people are claiming to be representing Prabhupada, but they're not, so therefore, better not to have anybody represent Prabhupada. That's something you're thinking like that. Better let Prabhupada be the guru for the next 10,000 years. This kind of idea it has some followers who appear to be intelligent, but actually it's missing the dynamic. The dynamic is that the disciple can become inspired by his guru so that he actually represents his guru. He doesn't have to compromise the principle and say, I'm not a guru, I'm only Prabhupada's guru. He can actually be representative, like Prabhupada once told me personally. He was giving class in London in 1969, evening class, Bhagavad Gita. And he was just sitting a few feet away. We were in a small temple room. I was sitting about this far. And he was talking about this principle of how the spiritual master is representative of Krishna. And when he spoke like that, suddenly I got my eyes open, you can say, I can see that this is not an ordinary person sitting in front of me, but he's actually Krishna's representative, you know, not just something. So the next day, I was going to give massage. When I spoke to Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, I very much liked your class last night. And Prabhupada said, oh, which part did you like? And I said, yes, Prabhupada, the part where you said that you were the representative of Krishna. And Prabhupada liked that. Sometimes I flattered Prabhupada, he didn't like it. You know, he said, no, no, no. But this he accepted, yes. And then he said, and you also can be representative of Krishna. He didn't keep it all, I'm the only representative of Krishna. He said, you also can be representative of Krishna. When you say, Krishna says, or Prabhupada says, then you're also representing. You don't have to be, in other words, being a representative is not a very hard thing. It's an easy thing. What's so difficult? You just have to repeat what you've heard, or what you've understood. Repeat it nicely, and then the effect will be there. Krishna will come through, just like the example is given of the copper wire. Copper wire is carrying electricity because it doesn't resist the electricity. Even silver is more conducive to carry electricity, but it's more expensive, so they use copper. But so silver, the electricity goes right through without any interference, hardly. But similarly, this is the principle, that guru is representing Krishna. Krishna is ultimately the guru. Krishna is everyone's guru. But the principle of guru is one who represents, and more definitely say Nityananda is the original guru. Because he's representing Lord Chaitanya, he's bringing people to Lord Chaitanya. But this is the principle of the guru, he's bringing people to Krishna. He's not saying, you know, worship me, I'm the greatest, no. He's saying, come to me and I'll bring you to Krishna. I'll introduce you, here, I'll take you by the hand, and you can, and you can be connected to Krishna. This is the idea. But because people are not representing, therefore, they want to change the philosophy. But they'll never get the full mercy by changing. Prabhupada was very strict about that point about changing. He didn't approve of changing, especially principles. And this is a principle he discussed in the Nectar of Devotion, of accepting a spiritual master and so on. This is the first thing Bhakti Siddhanta says. And then there should be questions and exchange and so on. Well, what to do in such a circumstance? Prabhupada would say, then you have to become representative. That was Prabhupada's way of preaching. When there was a confusion, then he would say, then you be the representative. So something like that. Not that we feel qualified. Matter of fact, we're so disqualified in so many ways. But somehow, this is an order given to us. We have to represent this tradition, this parampara. And we can't change it just to accommodate some people who have lost their faith or some circumstance or situation which is changing. We have to try our level best to become that representative, and then people will be inspired. In other words, we're not trying to catch disciples and bring them to our feet or something. This is not required. Such disciples will become simply disturbance. They'll disturb you. It's like Jai Chita. He had such a disciple who cut his head off. Who needs those kind of disciples? And then you just wink to you for some other purpose. But at the same time, if we're representing Krishna nicely, then Krishna in the heart of sincere people will tell them, yeah, this person is representing me. And if you hear from him, then I'll be pleased. This is the idea. In other words, why can't we say that we're all disciples of Krishna? Krishna is the original guru. Why do we need any guru? Why do we need this parampara at all? We can all just approach Krishna. What's wrong? Krishna can accept us. Is there any limitation on Krishna? Why can't we all become Krishna's disciples? Why? Because Krishna says, this is not the system I want. I'm giving another system. It's called parampara. And he very clearly says, if you actually love me, then you worship my devotee. Then you approach my devotee. This is the system that Krishna has given. One who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, he says. But one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So we can't change Krishna. We can't, oblige him to change the system because we don't find it suitable. No, it's up to him. He's the giver of religion, Dharma Tushaksha Bhagavad Punita. He's the one who's establishing real religion. So real religion is that we follow the Mahajan, Mahajana Yena Katasapanta. We follow the previous acharya. We don't try to create something new, something different. And if we're not able to do that, then we humbly admit that we're not able. But if somebody is able, and they're doing it nicely, then we should support them. We should encourage them. We may not be able to represent Krishna because of our own inadequacies, our own defects, then we shouldn't sit on the Vyasa side. We shouldn't take the position. We shouldn't accept disciples. But once having accepted, then there's no, we can't just say, well, now we don't want to. Prabhupada gave the example of the young Bengali girl. Was, because of circumstance, she had to make money, and she decided to become a dancer. So in Bengal, of course, any girl who becomes a dancer is considered low class, not, you know, not from a good family. So, one day she was dancing, and she saw some relatives that came into the car. So she was on the stage dancing, and she saw her family, some family members coming in. So, instead of, you know, just going on with it, you know, obviously, they see me, I'm on the stage, she was dancing. Instead, she pulled a curtain. She pulled a curtain to, so that she wouldn't be seen or something. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes a joke at her. He said, what is the use of pulling the curtain? You're already there dancing, you might as well dance. Something like that. You understand the point? That if you're already exposed, then why try to hide? Be honest and admit. So something like that. One who is accepting disciples, he can't suddenly say, unless he admits that he has a fall down and he's no longer qualified and he wants to release his disciples and so on, they should all get reinitiated or they should all, you know, something like that. But if he's going on, he can't suddenly become very humble and say, oh, I'm not qualified, I can't become guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta discusses this in an essay called In Assuming Responsibility of Being Guru. He discusses this principle. But some may come and criticize, oh, Vyasa Pooj, and in one day a year at least the guru is worshipped, by all the disciples are coming and they're bowing down and they're glorifying him. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tells me, he said, should I think that people will come and say, outsiders will come and think, what is this? What kind of arrogance is this, that this person is sitting? And all the people are coming forward and offering gifts and bowing down and offering prayers, and he's just listening, like it's a normal thing. He said, and people will think, what kind of arrogant fool is this? Because Lord Chaitanya advises to be humble. This is the first qualification, to be humble. So how can we accept that this person is humble? He's sitting there listening to his praises. He must be the most arrogant person. So Bhaktisiddhanta discusses this in his essay. But he says, I'm ready to take that criticism because on behalf of my Guru Maharaj, I'm taking this vow. And he has ordered me that I should also represent this parampara and bring people. And in order to do that, it's required. Guru is required. Someone has to take the position of the teacher. For although I can be seen by ordinary people as a big fool, like a zoo animal, he calls it. People can come and look at me. What kind of animal is this sitting here being worshipped? But I'm ready to be tolerate that kind of accusation or that kind of criticism, you know, because there's a higher principle. What is the higher principle? The order of my spiritual master. Well, I'm convinced that Prabhupada ordered some of his disciples to take the position of spiritual master. Of course, that spiritual master may not be the exact equivalent to the traditional spiritual master. In the traditional spiritual master in our parampara, the spiritual master had authority over all disciples, you can say, life and death authority. It was absolute, very autocratic. Srila Swami talked about that, autocratic. And Prabhupada made a system a little differently. So some of his devotees criticized that he made a GVC, which is the ultimate authority. And the guru was underneath the GVC. So Srila Swami, who was a very advanced devotee, Brahmin, very qualified disciple, he said, this is not proper that a guru is checked by some committee. He was criticizing Prabhupada's arrangement, although his guru also made an arrangement. But his philosophy, which is generally the traditional philosophy, is that the guru has absolute authority over his disciple. He's the main link to Krishna, and therefore the disciple has to see, my guru is as good as God, whatever word he says, that I have to accept as absolute. But Srila Prabhupada made it a little different. He said, you can be gurus, but still, that gurus have to be within the overall jurisdiction of the institution. So that requires, the guru has to understand, that's the order of my spiritual master. Why I'm guru because my spiritual master has ordered me, the only qualification I have as being as a disciple is that I'm following the order of my spiritual master. So he's ordered me to work within the institution and to accept the GDC as the final authority. So that's my duty. I have to do. And so that way everything is adjusted. There are gurus. They do have disciples. But within the jurisdiction of the society, the GDC, this world, everything is resolved. I don't see any difficulty in the system that what's going on today. But like any system, it can be misused. It's like this electricity. We can use it to heat ourselves, or we can use it to electrocute somebody, to kill somebody. So the same, with the system Prabhupada gave us, it's a workable system. We don't have to change anything. But we have to follow it properly. We have to be, you know, those who are taking the role of guru have to actually represent properly, like Prabhupada told me. You can also be representative. If they're not representing, like your high case, you say, no, we don't accept Prabhupada. Well, you can vote. There's no value. Zero. In my mind, that man has zero value. Because he's leading people. Yeah, follow me. Where am I going? Who are you following? I'm following my intelligence. I have a good intelligence. No doubt. Very good intelligence. Nobody drops high case a good intelligence. But where is it taking him? Will it get him out of this material world? No. The only way you get out is by mercy. That means you have to get the mercy of the superior. So how can you get mercy from the superior when you're saying, we don't require it? And that's what he's preaching. We don't require it. He's such a person. He's not fit. One should not follow him. Okay, any questions?
He gave
him a chance. Just like he gave us a chance to be sannyas. He gave so many people sannyas. But how many followed? Not very many. But he gave these people, and he told them that others can also be, according to the GDC, others can also be included. If when they're fit, senior sannyasis can be. The Prabhupada was a practical person. It was a common sense thing. There has to be. People have to be initiated. They have to get a spiritual name. They have to go. Rupa Goswami says, this is a principle. You have to approach a spiritual master. Inquire from him. And the exchange is there. And some training is there. According to the psychology of the disciple. And so on. The guru has to take the responsibility. Some responsibility. I mean, he has to be cautious about how he deals with that person. To see that his faith is not broken. And so on. Mm-hmm. So, Prabhupada needed some people to do that. So these 11, they were the leaders, they were good men. But they took it the wrong way, many of them. Instead of thinking, Prabhupada is giving me this service, I have to be very careful to follow Prabhupada's order and Prabhupada's society, because Prabhupada told us that the last thing he said was work together profitably. Under the society, the GBC is the final authority. He sat up in his book and wrote it out in his own hand in front of the lawyers. I was there. Yeah, in front of the lawyers. He couldn't even sit up. He hadn't stood up. His hand was, his signature wasn't very good, but it was clear what he was doing. His mind was good. His body was finished, but his intelligence was there. He knew what he was doing. He was making the GBC the final authority. And so the gurus, instead of thinking, oh, now let me work under the society very nicely, they began to think that they were like the traditional guru. They could do anything, everything. And the disciples had to follow them. And then they weren't even following themselves. How many of them became addicted to illicit sex? Five or six, right? I remember was having homosexual relationship. As a guru was having sex with his disciples. Ramashara was having sex with his disciples. That's three. Well, Kirtananda was burning down with some blood. Few times. Children and girls. That's four right there. Jayatirtha was having illicit sex too. That's why his disciple killed him. Because he had a wife, but then he took another wife, and the second wife wasn't said not to be one of her mother, he wanted to put her away the third wife. And then this guy, who was a very fanatical follower, he thought he was on the level of Christ. I spoke to this boy. He thought Jayatirtha was, you know, fully Uttama Adhikari, whatever he'd done was perfect. Then when he realized, this guy is cheating me, so he cut his head off. He's such a fanatic. He realized I was been cheating all these years. They killed him. So all these people, they didn't follow. Prabhupada said, first order is, no, this is not a classification. But they didn't follow that, and they're still taking the position of big gurus, sitting on Vyasa-san, accepting disciples, making big ceremony for so many disciples. And Prabhupada was doing this, even he was having the relationships going on, he was still accepting more disciples, more disciples. And in the back room, he's having homosex. So, what to do? Well, they didn't follow Prabhupada, then how can they become gurus? That was the first qualification, a disciple he has to follow. Then he can become guru. Strictly follow. So if somebody doesn't strictly follow, then he should suffer. Brother says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first thing. No one can dare to sit on the Vyasa-san unless he strictly follows the no, this is sex, no intoxication, no good. Even to give Bhagavatam to us, no one should. If he's having illicit sex with his wife, he shouldn't come in the morning and speak Bhagavatam. We should say no Bhagavatam. Just sitting in a simple seat like this, because we're representing Bhagavatam, we shouldn't. Except of these four things we have, at least, and 16, right? And then you could say, okay, I'm a disciple. I may not be the best disciple, I'm trying one. This means that you're trying. No, listen, anybody can give up illicit sex and intoxication, means they're trying. So then they can give us some realization. We can learn from that. But one is cheating. You know, pretending that he's following, but in the back he's cheating. Such persons, they spoil the whole thing. So, it's okay. Even in Harikesha, he wanted to change ashram. We can accept that. Okay, so now you admit that you're not brahmacharya, you're not sannyasi. That's all right, then be humble. Come, we'll give you a wife, or you can have this girl, you take a wife. But don't present yourself as more than the whole GBC. You know, what is that? You're fallen. You've fallen from your sannyas vow. Okay, then humbly you can take some, you can have some service in his family. We're not throwing you out, but be humble, my God. Don't present yourself as the new messiah, that you're going to, train everybody in ISKCON how to do properly. And how ISKCON is wrong because they did this, they did that. They dealt with their women wrong, they dealt with the children wrong. He was the one doing it more than anybody else. I know it was Mr. Yu treating women and children, but in his zone it was going on. So then he comes and, he's going to save all of ISKCON. It's not a cheating. If you have to get married, okay, get married. But don't present yourself as something special. But you see, they can't do that. He can, in his own mind, admit that I had a fall down, and I should be humble and ask forgiveness. One of the things that honor, dishonor is worse than death. Bhagavad Gita says, the one who has tasted honor, he's talking to Arjuna. Arjuna wants to stop fighting. And Krishna says, no, if you just leave the battlefield, then everybody will think, you're a coward. You left because you were afraid to fight. And for one like you, who was tasted honor, because Arjuna was honored. He was famous. Arjuna was famous even before the battle. He was famous. Young people would look up to him and they'd say, who do you think you're like Arjuna? Arjuna was considered as the greatest archer. So he was honored wherever he went. And now he's going to leave the battlefield. Krishna says, you'll be dishonored. And for someone who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Better you should stay here and die. So that's the problem. These people were honored too much. High cage. They're giving all so much fanfare. Wherever he went, so many people following behind. And Mayapur used to walk. 100 people were walking behind. And, big class giving, hundreds of people, and then made him the chairman of the GBC for 3 years, so much honor, so he's the best, he's the legitimate grandson of Bhakti Siddhanta, right? And they used to say, Harikesha Disciple used to say. Because Prabhupada once said he was a good grandson of Bhakti Siddhanta. So they all think that, he's special, and then he becomes crazy. And it'll come around, and then the whole thing will become, you have to allow Krishna to do it, practically. So many attempts can be made to make a person humble, but ultimately the person has to want to be humble, has to feel humble. It's not something you can... Like, what can we do with Harikesh? If we went to him and tried to force him that you have to stop, you have, then he would have fought back like anything, and he would accuse you. You're angry. I did it once in a GBC meeting. Once in a GBC meeting, in front of, you know, 30, 40 people. He was complaining about Kundalini. Well, the talk was about Kundalini and Kundalini's book, not a leaf falls from Vrindavan, which was, the philosophy was somewhat different from Prabhupada's philosophy about the fall of the jiva. So, we were discussing that. And then, I made the point, well, this book has been authorized by Harikesh. He's here. What is his point? And this, you know, he was, this Kundalini was working with Harikesh. Well, how is it that you authorized this? And then immediately he became very defensive. Oh, now you say it's my fault. Instead of being humble and trying to, you know, look at the thing and seeing what no, he completely defensive. Completely defensive. And then you couldn't talk to him. You know, you couldn't go to his room and talk to him like a friend. I mean, he was too important. He had bodyguards and everything, you know. The Russian bodyguard, right, would kill you if you... There was one mafia Russian guy who was always looking up the floor. I mean, it's the kind of thing that Prabhupada didn't do either. Prabhupada was always approachable and humble. So the danger is there. Okay, yeah.
If someone sincere devotees, they invaded the present Srila Prabhupada, why not everyone became guru? This is a thing.
Well, that was practical also. In other words, because of an institution, Prabhupada wanted that the guru should be qualified. And so who's going to decide? There may be some neophyte before. I mean, if Prabhupada left the planet in 1977, he may initiate somebody in 1976. With a one-year devotee, he could say, I'm also guru. And he go forward, I have a right to be guru. And if, no, then you have to, the GBC has to decide. Just like to become a doctor. You have to, there's a licensing board. You can't just automatically become a doctor. It has to be approved by some organization or some board, a standard, to see if you're actually a doctor. So to become guru also, Prabhupada, okay, he gave these 11 a chance, but in the future he said the GBC should decide who's more. And so they started adding. Gopal Krishna was one of the first ones, Bhakti Sultan Rai, in 1983, 4 or 5 years later, they made a few more. And then quite a few more after that, 1987 or something. Everybody can. I mean, the you can say, the GBC body, their really position is like no objection. Any proper disciple is like Vaisheshika. I've been telling him, Vaisheshika Prabhu, you should also be, become a guru. But, and I can help him become a guru. If he wants to become a guru, I'm sure I can make him a guru in this class. No problem. So in other words, because the GBC, they're really not, their main thing is that we don't have any objection. If somebody comes forward and says, well, I object that Vaisheshika is being made a guru because he was having sex with my wife 6 months ago, then the GBC has to listen to that and say, well, what is the evidence? And your wife comes forward. Okay, then you could say, well, maybe you shouldn't become guru now because you're representing our society. And we don't want such people as gurus. And there's some cases like that. I mean, not Vaisheshika, of course, but like this Krishna Balaram. He was having sex with this guy's wife, and we investigated, we found out. And still he wants to be sannyas and guru and so on.
Indian.
Yeah. You know him?
Yes.
Yeah. He was cheating. Big cheating. And he looks so nice. Speaks so nice. So there has to be some kind of, you know, to investigate if there's any question. But otherwise, the mood is, well, unless there's an objection, then every proper disciple should be allowed to initiate. That's the move. Just like now they made, even though somebody who is not Prabhupada's disciple, or guru, Mahavishnu Swami. Authorized him. Yeah. Just a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
He's nice. So they made exceptions for him because he's older and so on and so on. But any proper disciple, who would object? Now they just made another guru, who is the author of this book, Scientific Archaeology. What's his name?
Jutakarma?
Yeah, Jutakarma. Jutakarma, he's in L.A. Or maybe, anyway, he's saying the 11th or another, this time. But he's an author, so he's now, he became guru, and some other... I'm telling you, I can make Vaishya, there's no problem. Vaishya can become guru. I talked to him about it, he says, well, I don't know. But he doesn't want to work in the book. But it's not difficult. Any proper disciple wants to become guru, just have to no objection. Who will object to Vaishya Shaikha becoming guru? I think he should. It would be hard, it would be good, you know. People could come and take shelter, formally. I'm sure he could get some disciples here. Which Indian people. It would be good for Prabhupada's movement, I think. What to do. I think Vaishya Shaikha should also be the prime president in San Jose as well. But he's not. That I can see or understand why he's not ready to do it. But guru he could become. Anyway, that's another issue. Administratively, it's always a little tricky. But spiritually, he's very qualified. Okay?
What could I give this disciple
to Jagadita? He went to jail, now he's out of jail. He's out. He was in 15 years or something. Because he said it was a motive, it was a passion, a spur of the moment. He didn't premeditate it, he just became married. And he was somewhat crazy. Now that he's mature.
He's still
former. I don't know. Somebody told me he saw him at the temple. Father's appearance there a couple of years ago.
What is his name?
Navanita Chua. Jayatika was a very nice person, soft, but he became like Sahaja. Taking LSD, singing, with some false sentiment. Okay, so we're going to cook. So we're going to eat.
Yeah.
He's very loyal to ISKCON, and they felt he was going to leave his body soon, and so he already had disciples. I mean, he was accepted. Anyway, there was a lot of talk about it. It was going on for years, and then finally they decided this to him. Shivram was in favor of it, too.
He said he will leave the body soon.
Well, his health is not good. He's, 75? Okay. Answer 5, chapter 3, Shabda's appearance. Text number 12, huh? Dear Lord, we may not be able to remember your name, form, and qualities due to stumbling, hunger, falling down, yawning, or being in a miserable disease condition at the time of death when there is a high fever. We therefore pray to you, O Lord, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please help us remember you and utter your holy name, attributes, and activities, which can dispel all the reactions of our sinful lives. The book. The real success in life is Ante Narayana Smriti. Remembering the holy name, attributes, and activities, and from the Lord at the time of birth. Although we may be engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the temple, material conditions are so tough and inevitable that we may forget the Lord at the time of birth due to disease condition or mental derangement. Therefore, we should pray to the Lord to be able to remember Him, His lotus feet, without fail at the time of birth. When we are in such a precarious condition, In this regard, one may see Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 2, 9, 10, and 14, 15. Precarious means dangerous. And you have to think inevitable. Inevitable means it has to happen. Tough means difficult. Probably using the word tough. We may forget due to disease condition or mental derangement. The mind may be, deranged means not in good order. Arranged means you arrange everything nicely. Deranged means not in nice order. So the mind at the time of death may be deranged. So the priest, next verse, step 13. Dear Lord, here is the great King Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshipping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation of the world. The priests were a little ashamed that King Nabi was performing a great sacrifice just to ask the Lord's benediction for his son. The Lord could offer him promotion to the heavenly planets or Vaikuntha planets. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to approach the Lord and ask for the ultimate benediction. He says, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitamra Jagadisha Kamaye. He did not want to ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. Material opulence means riches, a nice family, a good wife, and many followers. But an intelligent devotee doesn't ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. His only prayer is, Manma Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Ahoitiki Trayi. He wants to be engaged perpetually in the loving service of the Lord. He does not want promotion to the heavenly planets or books.